In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. With the sun starting to warm us after those cold January days and nights that we had, and the Pacific High waking up and promising to take its rightful place in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, we're given signs that winter will soon be over. Yay. If you're tired of going to work in the dark and then coming home from work in the dark, and you're tired of the cold, and you're asking, can there be life after February? The answer seems to be yes. At least there's hope. I mean, summer catalogs are starting to come in the mail. The daffodils are pushing their way up through the dirt. The sun's coming up earlier now. And there's hope that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Kind of dating myself, but as the band Metallica warned us, yes, I am eclectic. Then it comes to be that the soothing light at the end of your tunnel was just a freight train coming your way. Behind us is the cold and wet of winter. Summer is coming. But ahead lies a myriad of other questions and concerns. We have health concerns and questions about our jobs. Who knows where the economy's going? There are always money problems, and each of us are growing older. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's just a matter of time before more storms roll in off of the Pacific. Our lives are lived in the hope that someday we will arrive at the end of our tunnel. But it seems that each time we come out of our tunnel, it turns out to be an entrance into another longer, darker, even more twisted hole. I remember one of my sister-in-laws saying a number of years ago, after a particularly long and hard day with her boys, she said, "I thought life was supposed to be easier, simpler." And what parent hasn't thought that? I thought life would get simpler after she started to sleep through the night, after the days of diapers, after he could walk, after she entered school, when he graduated. It's like our inalienable right that everything is supposed to get better after graduation, after getting a job, after getting married, after you've raised your kids, after you get out of debt. But it doesn't. There are always new dangers and dilemmas and doubts, new ways to die a little bit each and every day until that big death at the end. The only thing that seems to be constant is the fact that we are creatures who live in the tunnel of life. There's a faint glow behind us, a day that we think was brighter than today. You know, the good old days. A day when everything was going our way and things were working out and on and so forth. There's a faint glow behind us. And ahead of us lies the light of a new day. But as for now, we live between the lights in the middle of a very long, dark tunnel. In reality, the whole world stands in the middle of this long, dark tunnel, except for us Christians, except for us on this very day. You see, today is the end of Epiphany, Transfiguration Sunday. And today, with our gospel lesson, we join Peter, John, and James standing on the top of a well-lit mountain. The light doesn't come from the mountain. It's lit by the one who is the light of the world. Through Luke, Peter tells us about Jesus being changed right before their eyes. Not so much changed as revealed. As if the coverings come off and what lies concealed is revealed. the one who is true man and also true God. And they're standing in the presence of Moses and Elijah, the greatest heroes of the faith. You remember what Epiphany's about. The season of Christmas tells us about the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The season of Epiphany tells us about the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Epiphany shows us Jesus, true man, born of the Virgin Mary, who is also at the same time the eternal Son of the only one true God. And right at the end of Epiphany, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples see the supernatural glow of the Lord. And they hear an unearthly voice, a voice which had spoken once before, the same voice, the same message, because God never changes. This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. A whole bunch of years ago, our youth group built a maze out of cardboard boxes in Agape Hall. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun too. And as they crawled through the maze, every once in a while you'd see a head pop up out of a hole in the top of one of the boxes, kind of like little prairie dogs in West Texas. A kid trying to find out where she was in relation to the end of the maze. For the disciples and for us too, Transfiguration Sunday is one Sunday in the church year when we poke our heads up out of the tunnel, almost as if we are being time warped to the end of time, to the end of the tunnel, and we experience the end. We see the glory of our Lord, and we'd love to stay, but we can't, and neither could Jesus. Transfiguration was a day of light and glory on the top of the mountain. There, Jesus revealed the glory his humanity was concealing. But this day was also the entrance into the longest, darkest tunnel of his life. From here on out, Jesus would be drawn to Jerusalem and Gethsemane and Golgotha. And there he would suffer and die simply because he tells the world who he really is, the Son of God, come to save. And for us too, the day of Transfiguration is our entrance into the long, dark tunnel we call Lent. This Wednesday is the Wednesday of dust and ashes. The brilliant glow of today's lesson will be lost behind us. The dazzling light of the day of the resurrection will be far off in the future. And for 6 long weeks to come, we will make our trek in the darkness, starting it with that dark spot of a cross in the middle of our foreheads. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We shall come together in the darkness of Wednesday nights as we make our way to the darkness of Good Friday. And before we arrive at the warm Easter vigil flame's light, we will hear the blessed Son of God say to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? But there's good news in Luke's gospel as we enter the tunnel and start this journey toward Jesus' suffering, his death, his resurrection and ascension. Just as spelunkers take certain tools with them into a cave so that they can find their way through the cave and especially back out as they explore, Luke prepares us for life in the tunnel. Help without which we'd never make it. Think of Luke's first readers, the people of the early church. Think of their terrifying tunnel. The light of Jesus' resurrection was behind them, and the light they saw off in the distance was the promise of his reappearing. But between those two lights was a long, dark tunnel of life in which they had to live their lives. And that tunnel was dark, and it was ruthless, and it was severe. They felt alone, afraid, abandoned. They even felt like Jesus had betrayed and deserted them. There were those who, while they were being persecuted and tortured, cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And maybe they even died with those words on their lips, words of doubt and despair. Where was Jesus when they needed him most? In their dark tunnels, they asked the same questions that you and I ask. Where is Jesus? Why does God allow this to happen? What is he doing while I'm suffering and dying in my tunnel? Well, in the story of the Transfiguration, those early Christians found their answer. Jesus was transfigured and stood there with Moses and Elijah. Now, where's the comfort in that? Well, to get an answer, you have to do a bit of remembering. You have to recall a bit about Elijah and Moses. Moses was Israel's greatest teacher. He led the people in the Exodus out of Egypt and through the tunnel of the wilderness to the promised land. But just as Israel emerged from the tunnel, what happened to Moses? God called him to the top of Mount Nebo and showed him the land of promise. And then, according to Deuteronomy, Moses never came down off that mountain. Moses died, and God buried him on that mountain, and no one ever found his grave. Later, a legend arose that said that God actually took the body of Moses to be with him, and he lived with God as Israel's greatest teacher. Elijah was Israel's greatest prophet. God took Elijah home in a low, swinging, fiery chariot. In Jesus' day, it was believed that Elijah served as God's agent, helping those who were in mortal danger. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders said, behold, he is calling Elijah. Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down. Let's see if Elijah will rescue him out of danger. Now, how is this to help us as we live day after day in the dark tunnel of this life? Moses left behind the Torah, the teachings of God. Elijah left behind his mantle for Elisha. What's been left behind for you? Listen to what the Father says. This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Listen to him. Jesus has left us his word. Not just left us his word, though. He is present in his word. Wherever his word is, he is. In the middle of your long, dark tunnel, it's not just the teachings of Jesus that you have, like you can also have the teachings of Buddha and the teachings of Confucius. You have him. You have the one who is the light of the world with you, even in the deepest holes and the darkest twists that your tunnel takes you in. When you have his word, you have him. And his promises to you hang like lanterns on the walls of your cave, sconces for you to cling to. But that's not all. Not only does the light of the world leave us his light to break down the darkness of our tunnels, there's sound to break its silence. Those of you who live close enough to Dana Point Harbor know that at the end of the Dana Point breakwater, there's a foghorn. And when it's pitch dark and foggy and you can't see a blessed thing, there's something there to guide you in safely. There's a sound, a horn. Put that horn in your left ear, and that horn will guide you safely into the harbor. There's sound for you in your tunnel too. It's the voice echoing from the mountaintop, calling to you in your tunnel, echoing through its twists and turns, its crooks and crannies, bending its way into places where light just won't bend and turn. The sound of a voice. And it's saying the same thing to you that was said at Jesus' baptism. The same thing to you that was said at your baptism. It's the voice of the Father. Wrapped in the folds of my Son's righteousness, now you too are my beloved Son, my much-loved daughter. He made that promise to you when He forgave you your sins in the waters of baptism. And those He washes, He never forgets. You know your tunnel. Sometimes there are days when you march confidently along because the light at the end is bright and clear and your tunnel is straight and everything's going your way. That's when it's easy. Remember to listen too when your tunnel is narrow and crooked, where things aren't going your way, when the ceiling is caving in on top of you, maybe through no fault of your own, and maybe because of your own most grievous fault. When your secret sins overpower you and pressures threaten to crush you. You know your tunnel when push has come to shove and you've been elbowed over the edge. You know your tunnel when the happy anticipation of the end of one tunnel leads you only into another longer, darker hole. You know your tunnel and your doubts and your questions and your cries. In the middle of your tunnel, listen to Him. Your Heavenly Father tells you. Listen to Him. That voice speaks into the brokenness of your life, into the damning failures of your sins. Listen to His voice as He speaks the truth about you, the truth that your Lord Jesus died for you. And that the Father, because the blood of Jesus covers you, is delighted with you. It's His voice calling to you from the end of the tunnel through death into the light forever. Now, I guess you don't have to. You don't have to home in on the voice at the end of the tunnel and focus on His light. Guaranteed, you're going to make it to the end of the tunnel. Everybody does. But let me ask you this. Was Metallica right, and the end of your tunnel is just the beginning of another long, dark tunnel, and you're doomed to live in the hell of tunnels forever? Or will you step out into the light of Christ and live? In the name of Jesus, amen.